Is that that guy's name? Rocket Man?
I think I know what you're talking
about. You guys know about Rocket Man?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's like he's comedy legend Harlan Williams. Oh god, it's a white guy with a big,
good,
tall.
Chew that cookie,
yeah,
into
just
the
eat a
mic.
Cookie in the middle of the sentence.
I thought we were doing a cookie themed episode.
We could. We could. It would feel a little bit forced after
it
a whiskey themed episode.
You don't want to force a cookie. Rule number one.
Rule number one of cookies.
Also, you two were like on a specific tip when the Whiskey Brothers came to town.
Yeah, well,
and that tip
largely we were drunk. Yeah.
Yes.
We were tapped
and unfortunately,
into some
cookies
kind of,
don't really do that to you.
Some kind of indescribable energy.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like it.
You two were drunk, and I was not.
Yeah. Wow. What must that have been like for you?
It was great. It was very productive.
Yeah.
The ride of your life.
What about if this one, because we both are drinking coffee.
Okay.
What if it's the
Java
Jabronis.
Hi, welcome back to Ballin' Out
Girl Time.
It's a regular show that we do behind the paywall.
No theme.
No jabronis here.
Why would you even think that?
Nope. Just your normal hosts. I'm Alex Patak. Thanks for coming back. I'm here with old KRL. That's Katie Rose Leon. Speak on it.
It's me, old KRL.
Old KRL. There and back again.
The new adventures of old KRL.
On your
11th
birthday. KRL.
I remember. People use flat iron their bangs.
Oh, and then a special guest.
You would wear a raccoon tail on your waist, as was the style at the time.
Hold on, I don't want to interrupt this. This is rare we get so much out of old KRL out the front.
Go on.
Okay, all right, we'll go back to that. And then... bad boy of the pod, you know, the trickster from
Temecula.
From Temecula, it's Jeremy Bad Boy Hammond.
I'm young KRL.
Oh, really? Well, won't this be a crossing of swords?
I actually just fell out of the sky. I'm young KRL.
Oh, don't spoil anything. Wow. But imagine if we had
so much to say to you.
Oh, really?
You two would have such a... And then you know you wouldn't listen either.
I know.
No,
you would
I'm not
throw
listening.
It back
I'm not
in
listening
your
at
face.
All. Me, I'm too busy with all my bracelets.
Oh, we're that young.
Oh!
All right.
Oh.
I'm young. I'm chibi KRL.
I'm speaking to chibi KRL. Tell me about these bracelets.
We talked about that.
I'm 3.5 heads high as opposed to your 6 or so. Yeah.
Wow. KRL wore bracelets from the bottom of her wrist to almost her elbow and both arms for about 4 years.
That's fantastic. You know?
And she had those paper towel holders to hold them on when she took them off.
Yeah, we've discussed this.
And what was that about? Was that a cry for help of some kind?
It's mostly I couldn't make a decision.
Oh, yeah, you just want them all. You
yeah.
want them all.
Well,
if
each
only
one of them
I had
stands for a different...
Wrists.
You know, if each one of them cut off stands for a different sexual act that you do behind the bleachers or on the bus or so on and so forth.
Or live strong.
Well, then what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to have a lot and a very diverse set of them so you always have a very interesting sex life.
Right. That way people will know you put out.
Yeah.
In every way.
In every way.
It was real bad for me when that news story hit because I was just wearing them.
Yeah. No, I know. Like every
you weren't
punk...
doing it like as a black belt for sex.
No.
No, every Long Island punk just had those jelly bracelets, and then one day they were like, actually, they're a sex thing. And everyone's just like, well.
Oh, I guess I have to get rid of my cum in the eyes bracelet.
Well, you had like really, I remember you had like really wide ones too. You had like different gauges of them essentially.
Yeah, I had like a diverse
set, yeah.
Interesting.
And you got to think that people, when they were thinking that, were like, hubba hubba, what do the wide ones mean?
Means that's what I shoved into my backpack at Claire's before the alarm went off.
Oh.
Is Claire still around?
No,
illegal
they went under.
Bracelets.
Claire's is the
really?
One where you could get like...
I wonder why, after hearing what young girls were doing to them.
Whatever, it's a chain store. You can't yeah. roll
you,
chain.
You, whatever. We're going to bring Claire on the show and you're going to apologize.
Claire's is the one where you could get like... like Cheeto flavored lip balm, right?
Yeah, that's
where all the different like novelty lip balms.
That's where Donald Trump got it.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah, it was mostly just like
Donald Trump.
What are we talking about?
The president of the United States.
We're talking about the president of the United States.
I see that. Have you guys ever talked to anyone over 50 in the last 4 years? Because they really go off if you bring up that guy.
Oh, yeah. My step-grandmother, I guess. I was talking to my dad about the impeachment thing. And I don't remember how exactly it happened, but I said essentially that, like, you're going to have to, like, for the Democrats to win the messaging on the impeachment thing, they have to convince the American voter that it's worse that, you know, that Donald Trump tried to get Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden than it is that Joe Biden did what he did with his son, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, you're going to have to convince
him off.
The absolute brainless goons who went out and actually voted for the guy the first time that that's the worst thing.
Yeah.
And then my step-grandmother comes in. She's like, so you think I'm a brainless goon? And I'm like, well, this is the next hour of my life.
How many different times have you gotten into pitched combat with your extended family over this? I've never done it. I've tactfully bended with the wind every time somebody old is in the room and just been like, you're right. We're Klobuchar or Klobu dead. And then I just get out of there. And they love me.
I just try to avoid it. I mean, generally, I don't spend that much time with my family, but I think I brought it up after New Year's. But
that's a good strategy as well.
But so I got dinner with my family and my step uncle, who is an older gay Jewish man who's
lived
in the same apartment, you know, in Park Slope for a very long time now.
Are we neighbors?
He was just no.
Okay.
He was. He just like wanted to get in a fight, I think, because he kept bringing it up and I kept trying to change the subject. This is like an after, you know, like this is like a holiday dinner situation. I'm just like not trying to take the bait, but he kept wanting to talk about the Democratic, you know, candidates. And I was just like, I'm not.
Yeah,
we're not going to do this. I kept changing the subject.
You got the kind of hairstyle he's been looking to destroy.
Well, I just like kept, you know, being like, hey, look, I brought my partner. Make him do a dance. You know what I mean? Like,
get him. He's not family.
Yeah. Like, you know, I was just trying to change the subject, but he really, and I, he was like, well, you know, he's like, Katie, you have to have an opinion and blah, in this day and age, complacency. Da, da, da. And I'm like, fine, Norman. Like, I, you know,
complacency is the,
like, clearly I want to vote for Bernie. And then he's just like, he's like, you people, like,
it's like the Pulp Fiction scene where he's like, well, you gotta have an opinion. You're like, well, I'm voting for Bernie. Shoots you in the face instantly.
Yeah, he was like, oh, that ancient man, blah blah blah. And I'm like, listen, I really don't want to do this. And he you know, of course he's Mayor Pete all the way. And I just kept changing the subject. I'm just like, listen, Norman, I'd be happy to have this conversation later, but look at all this Italian food.
Look at the gabagool, huh? Gabba, go get myself some.
I'm going to go get a third martini and take pictures of myself in the bathroom. So see you guys later.
You got me. You have high, high hopes for a niece, you wish. I had the most wonderful conversation earlier today with an older gay man who brought out that he hates Mayor Pete because he thinks that he's running, not because of anything he's done, but because he's just running and he doesn't think America will ever have a gay man. And then he mumbled to himself, they won't even have a woman. They're not going to have a gay man. They won't even have a woman. And then he tried to sell me on Mike Bloomberg for around full 30 minutes.
Woof. What a right turn. Here's the thing about Mayor Pete. He doesn't get to be gay.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. It's so fun that the conversation has turned to, is Mayor Pete even gay?
No.
I feel like most people now are like on board with this idea that he's not.
He's been kicked out. First of all, he tried to do a fundraiser in a gay bar and he asked them to take the stripper poles out.
And
I'm like,
and it was a load-bearing pole. We discussed this on my other podcast.
Yeah, no. You don't, I'm sorry, you fucking whitewashing, like, you know, hetero-washing piece of shit. Like, you don't get to pick and choose your culture. So he pisses me off so much with that shit. Get out of here.
Is a hetero wash when you have the cheerleader team clean your car? Hello.
Hello. It's very fun to think of. Was it Chasten? Chasten is his husband's name. It's very funny to think of like the two of them at like an event together, and the press is like, come on, give us a kiss. And they're like,
No. I'm coming to kiss you. Here I come.
No. Okay. I think we did it. We did the kiss.
He's like,
here we are,
now
gay men in America.
The kiss, it was just what we needed, and it's what you needed.
It's like a definition of a bow tie gay. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Right. That's a whole can of worms I'm not going to touch.
But
I love when you share your opinions with me, you old people. Keep telling me. Keep telling me about it. I have so much to learn.
I guess the whole point with this story about my uncle is, like, some of them just want, like, they don't care if you want to hear it. They really want to instigate an argument.
Well, the first part you said is very real. Like, they just want to fight with someone who looks like you. Like, they have a bone to pick with, like, 1,000 Katies, and they're like, oh, I found one. I got a Katie. I'm going to get her.
Yeah, but it's also, that situation was funny because I'm like, we're all on the same side. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Right. Like, I'm not a fascist. Like, who are you mad at right now?
Well, my favorite thing is that there's this weird wire cross that's happening right now where, like, a certain type of liberal and a certain type of conservative very much think that, like, they have, like, the same thought in their head at the same time of, like, the Bernie people are not woke enough, but also you are the most woke people in the world, and both of them are you. Like, you look like both of those people, and they're, like, mad at both of them, and they think they're the same person, but also not the same person. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes, where they're like, if you're into Bernie, you're a misogynist and a racist, but also you're a tender snowflake.
Yeah, your campus culture.
Bitch, pick one! Yeah. I can't be both!
I'm an ignorant snowflake. I'm very mad and confused. I am melting like a dumb bitch.
Oh no.
Yeah, me, I'm putting my pronouns in my bio, and I'm also mad at trans people.
I'm putting my pronouns in my bio and then jacking off with it. I don't know what that would look like. It made more sense in my head. Okay. I guess I was thinking of a bio as some kind of tube. You could put the pronouns in, and then they'd coat the penis.
What do you mean?
I specifically
like
thinking,
like a Tengu egg, like, but
like
then,
a Tengu egg,
but your bio's printed on
there. Yeah,
but
like
the bio.
Egg.
You know, like those kind of things they give you at the aquarium that, like, they just keep rolling?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Those things that are literally just designed for a penis.
First of all, let me say, although you would think that, they're not. This has been lab tested. They are forbidden fruit for a reason.
And that reason is a very distinct seam.
A distinct seam and very harsh, dry texture.
Just buy the Tengu egg or sleeve.
Well, you're a kid.
Sometimes
you can't buy a Tengu egg.
You're 15 years old and all you have is a trip to the aquarium and a dream.
This is more information than I care to learn today.
I didn't even remember it happened until just now. And now it's going back in the forget-me hole. Get back there!
I thought you wanted people to stop talking about your genitals.
I know. And
throwing dirt on top of the forget-me hole.
And then we even mention the word pronouns, and it all comes back out.
Is there like a montage of it's all coming back to me now with you jerking off into the...
Or just like holding it and like looking at it very just like you just keep having to like catch it.
I've like greased
you're, like,
it up,
holding
and
it up to the sun. You're just like, I wonder. Oh.
Billy Joel's The Stranger plays. That is a great remembering song, isn't it?
I don't know how The Stranger goes.
It's his whole first album. We all fall in love, but we disregard the danger.
I do like that one.
That first album's the best Billy Joel album. I'll fight you.
The first one?
Yeah, I'll say it.
What is the first one?
The Stranger.
It's called The Stranger?
Yes.
Yeah, it's got Anthony's song, Moving Out.
Really? Yeah.
That's all the first one.
It's actually moving out Prince's Anthony song.
Because what is it? It's that, and then it's Cold Spring Harbor, and then
Anthony
it's,
worked at the grocery store?
Yeah, that's the guy. You know him? I mean, you're both in Long Island.
That's the lyric to the song. Also, yeah, I knew him.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'm actually 75. He's my gay uncle,
and he keeps trying to fight
that's
me.
That's why I'm old Katie.
But wait, so that's the first album, and then the second one is Cold Spring Harbor has like nothing on it, right? There's no big songs in Cold Spring
that's
Harbor.
That's right, Sophomore Slump.
And then the third one is Piano Man.
I would believe it. I'd stick by that first album. And I do like the Vietnam song. Good Night Saigon.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the Billy Joel cast. We're playing the pianos. a song called Anime.
The old Joel cast.
Help. Help.
It is fun that like everybody universally seems to shit on Billy Joel, but also love Billy Joel.
Actually, he's great.
Yeah.
Well, he's flawed as a man and great as an artist.
Well, he's great because he's like Bruce Springsteen, but you can actually make fun of him. And it's way more fun if you can make fun of somebody than if
he's
you
can't. More approachable. I mean, you can make fun of Bruce Springsteen, but people are too physically attracted to him for it to stick.
Yeah.
Whereas Billy Joel is a
Never
nasty little troll man.
Never been hot.
Who keeps drunk driving into buildings.
He's got those fucking chibi proportions.
He's drunk driving to so many buildings, it is in a Saturday Night Live sketch, which is, that's a lot of buildings.
It's a lot of buildings.
There was a sketch on TV that was just him ramming into walls. A public figure, we all know.
Who else is like universally loved musically, but you can still rip on them because they're ridiculous people?
I don't think there's anything as universal as that. Because there's like individual
Yeah.
And that's why Joel is at the top.
That's why he's the king.
That's why he's the piano man.
Hey.
And Bruce, he's just...
He's just
the boss.
He's the boss.
Nobody likes bosses.
No, except for Bruce. I think people don't like other bosses because he's already the boss to them. There can only be one boss.
There should be a leftist movement against Bruce Springsteen.
I have a theory. Oh, you know who listens to this podcast is the boss's son.
Know if he still does.
So I'm glad this has come up. If he's not listening, don't show him this. Let him live his life. He has so much potential.
Oy vey.
So this we were talking about how much Billy we love Joel and respect Bruce Springsteen, right?
Billy Joel only.
That's what we were talking about. We love and respect the boss because he's the boss.
Joel role of the clown, we respect.
Yeah. Well, Billy Joel, I think it's Billy Joel's the worker.
I think Kanye's kind of like that. He has elements of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's almost too clownish because he's so...
mentally ill.
He's incredibly deeply bipolar and unwell.
Although I suppose addiction is a mental illness. You
deeply
could say.
Unwell.
Like, I have an addiction to the hit game Dota Underlords, and in that way, I have a mental illness.
Yeah. I'm just like Billy Joel.
I'm deranged for Dota.
People listen to your podcast and they say, this is just like Piano Man.
It's the same to me.
This is the comedy Piano Man. Just like...
another
what's
week.
What's that dude's name? The bald dude?
The bald dude.
That comedian who had the album Comedy Coltrane.
What?
He's the muscly guy. He's the really, really muscly guy.
Oh. Oh,
it's gonna kill me.
No!
That dipshit. He's that loser who was going after Kate that time.
Oh, yeah, the guy who's he's on the the Kumia Network.
Has said
Aaron Berg. That guy's a real piece of shit.
He's a real piece of shit.
He said some bad things that we'll not be sharing on this show.
Yeah, no, I know. He said some really fucked up things. But the thing about him that's very funny is that his first comedy album is called Comedy Coltrane.
That's probably the funniest thing I've ever heard.
It's so lame. It's such a lame name for a comedy album. And it's a picture of him smoking a fat cigar.
Oh my God, get over
yourself.
He
looks like Buck Angel. He's got like a weird like Buck Angel vibe to him.
I was outside Caroline's and I haven't done this in a while, but I was reading the pictures on the side, like the advertising, like, coming soon, we got Zippy Zubel. And then it's a picture of like a guy in extremely bright lighting, like, I'm Zippy. One of them had the title of his album is like from his famous, because you know, it'll say like from Netflix or right. like from the Whiskey Brothers podcast. This one said, I remember the name of his album was like from his first album, Surrender the Blender. And since I saw that, I have been like, oh man, what does he say about blenders?
You know that that was like a play for like digital radio.
Yeah.
Because he had like one bit that was called Surrender the Blender, and he was like, we're going to name the album that. And then when Surrender you see it on your digital
buy
radio
the shirts,
thing, you're
the blender
see
the shirts, yeah. blend it up, blend heads, get in the blender, meet each other. It's a mixer.
What
We're
the
on
fuck
chop.
Is up, blender heads?
Bring back premium blend.
Yes, premium
bring
blend.
Bring back premium blend. Bring we all miss that guy.
Netflix keeps trying to bring back premium blend in through other shows.
Oh,
and
yeah, they keep
fail.
Doing like, what if we did 10-minute specials?
They fail.
What if your comedy special was 10 minutes?
But it relied on cable as the vehicle, and that's why these new specials fail, and it's sad.
What is that? What do you mean?
Well, I think the fact that the nature of media now is pick and choose and play, and you're not just served something against your will. Mm-hmm. The 10 minutes from people you don't know, you're not willing to take the risk on because you just cut to the ones you already know.
Right.
So no one wants to see up-and-coming comics 10 minutes.
That's true.
They just pick people they already know they like.
I missed a lot of like the characters, for example. Everybody was saying that the characters was going to be really good. And then I just like only watched one of them.
Did you? Which one did you watch?
I don't remember. It was somebody I knew.
Let me tell you what. I have some strong opinions about Netflix, the characters. Let's go through them. Kate Berlant's A material. Very good. Mm-hmm. John Early's very one note, but good. Okay? John Early's a gem. That's why they're a team.
Right.
That's why they're a team. He's gay and he's over it, but also he can dance. Tim Robinson's pretty good. And then later he got...
He got his big show.
He got his big show we all love. And then Henry Zebrowski's, I'll say it back here behind the paywall, but don't tell anyone. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. It's outside of his strengths. But you didn't hear that from me. And there's no way he's going to hear it. So.
And then who's the other one?
I swear to God, if you people get me in trouble with Henry Zebrowski, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, don't
I'll
be snitch tagging.
I'll say it on the radio.
Don't be fucking snitch tagging this. We're shit talking behind the paywall this
week. This is behind
week.
The paywall on what could have been a cookie podcast.
Just remember, everyone, this could have been... What was it? Cookie Boys?
Cookie.
I'm still eating your cookies, man.
The game was going to be...
Oh, we're not doing the game anymore. Give me a cookie.
Okay.
The game was going to be that I'd never had a cookie before.
Me and Katie have a cookie podcast with Cookie Siblings, and then Jeremy's never had a cookie, and we're like, so what kind of cookies did you have growing up? And you're like, I had none. I've never had a cookie.
Now it was going to be like Ballin' Out Super, but with cookies instead of anime.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
If you enjoy this idea, you'll love when we get bored and do it for five other things in the coming months.
If you like that idea, you're going to love when we just can't stretch it anymore.
Yeah. We do a lot of content and run out of ideas. did you watch any anime? I'm almost catching up to Katie on Demon Slayer.
Oh yeah.
I'm like episode 13. I'm watching it with my wife, mm-hmm. so my progress is a little bit slower, but also more full of love.
What does that mean, it's slower?
Well, we both have to be there to watch it.
Right.
We're not going to watch it and then catch up because it's going to be, I have so much more free time than her.
Mm-hmm.
But... I will say this about Demon Slayer, although I cannot be the funny crow for the translated
yeah.
Demon Slayer, which I wanted to be, because they have a crow who the main character gets,
yeah,
who sounds
like
Gilbert Godfrey. Demon in the mountains! That could have been me, but it's already cast, so it won't be me. But there's another character who can only slay demons in his sleep. And he is the most annoying creature I have come across in any show in years, and I hate him so much.
Yeah.
What's his name? Zenitsu?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like he's covered. Suit. He dresses like he's covered in nachos. He has like an orange robe, and he's just like the fucking Chester the Cheetah. Fuck him.
His design's cute, but yeah, it's like, I think the concept of a character that is a scaredy cat and can only fight in his sleep is like a fun idea.
I love the sleep angle.
But they they just spend too much time with him whining and freaking out all the time to the point where.
Do they think it is it like a cultural gap? Is it funnier in Japan?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he is the most annoying
character. They do it too character. Long. It should only be like a 2 second thing.
Right, 2 seconds, and it'll be like 7 minutes of a 20 minute episode will be like a guy being like, demons! Oh, I don't want to fight one! I'll lie on the ground! I'm rolling on the ground! So just minutes on end of this, and you're just
it's
like,
also,
what is this?
Like, triggering for me as someone who's dealt with people that like manipulated me that way, where
it's
they're
manipulative
like, where
too.
They're just like, I guess I'll just fucking kill myself
yes.
if you leave.
Yes.
It's like the
oh,
same
God.
Vibe.
I think you're going to say it was vibe. Triggering as having grown up with Jews.
I think that was the concept for the character. They can't quite, there's a, like, it's a ethno
your Jewish cousin.
So they don't have like the codes for it to be like, it's a Jewish guy. They're just like, this guy, he's annoying.
He is wink ethnically annoying.
What if Woody Allen was just like one part of him all the time?
Wait, Jewish stuff. Very funny thing this week that happened to me. My mom got me one of those DNA test things.
Yeah. Oh, you're 100% that bitch?
I am so unbelievably Jewish. And it has devastated my mother, who was really hoping I would come back very Italian.
Oh, no. Tell us about it.
So my family is like fairly split. Like on my mother's side is like very Italian Catholic. My father's side is all Jews, right?
Uh-huh.
But then his dad is a convert.
He
so we don't really know his
sperm.
Ethnic background.
Yeah.
And then my mom's mother, I think, is like Irish or something like that. But like basically one family kind of adopted like all the Italian shit and one family adopted all the Jewish shit. And so we really don't know what the blend is for any of us.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was like, all right, we're going to find it out. And I think she really expected it to come back and be like, yeah, like 70% Italian. He's
the boots.
He's an FBI, full-blooded Italian. But it came back and it was like 45% Jewish.
Powerful blood.
My grandmother's blood is so strong.
But also those tests I've heard are just kind of
I know, they're
like,
probably total bullshit.
We walked into this bit I was doing. I'm not doing it anymore. More so I might as well do it on here, but the premise was just like, I don't know why you would ever pay for what's it called, the
DNA
like 23andMe.
Yeah, 23andMe. If you think about what it is as a business, the business is you give them $100 and then spit out of your mouth and then they guess what race you are.
You can just go to a comedy show
okay.
for that.
Secret Jew. Genghis Khan defiled your family. I'm selling this information to DuPont. Yeah,
that's fun. That's a fun bit.
Boy, was that
a
hit or miss with a general audience, let me tell you.
The way you do it is you spit in the little vial, right? And I always wanted to do a bit about how there's for sure been at least like maybe 2-3% of the time that comes back full of cum. There's absolutely no way that people aren't constantly doing it. It's a DNA test.
Right,
that's like
you
where
would assume.
You think of your DNA as being.
You'd assume. You're just like, I don't need to read this. I got it. Let me get out my pronouns.
Let me get out my slippy thing I got at the aquarium.
I'm about to he him.
No.
What I like about this riff is it doesn't make any sense.
You made it make sense at the end, though.
Yeah.
In a very real way.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Well, I think as a woman, you could also send them a jar of cum, and that would also be funny.
Yeah.
So I've covered my bases here as an ally.
No.
Anyone can send the 23andMe people cum by accident. And you should.
And you should.
Unless it's illegal for me to say that, and then I take it back.
And also, if it's illegal to do that, you probably don't want to do that.
and I am maybe encouraging you to do it.
Yeah, we definitely don't constantly beep out us saying illegal stuff.
Although the thing
I didn't rob Claire's into bankruptcy.
Yeah. We're going to have to beep that, by the way.
Started this podcast with, I used to steal every day from Claire's until it closed.
No one was watching me, so I just was like shoplifting constantly as a youth.
I shoplifted from KB Toys all the time.
My friends get, like, my friends from home just get drunk and just start stealing now. Like, a few years ago, they called me at 3 in the morning, and I picked up because I was too dumb to not do that then. And then they were like, we're at 7-Eleven. We uploaded a case of chips off a truck. And I was like, what? Why? And they're like, we got so many chips.
Oh, my God.
I have 10,000 chips now.
That's crazy.
What's that Mitch Hedberg joke about spaghetti? About like spaghetti's good food if you ever want 1,000 or something.
Oh, it's rice, but yeah.
Yeah, the same concept.
Same idea.
We'll miss you, Mitch.
Hey.
Mitch Hedberg.
Rest in peace,
son
Mitch.
Of a bitch. Come on the show.
I got my Ouija right here. Let's go.
Come in next episode when we Ouija Mitch Hedberg. See if he says anything funny.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys done a Ouija?
Yeah, of course.
When I was a kid.
Oh.
Look at me. I'm spooky as shit.
Yeah, you know, Katie is very spooky. Yeah,
although I was like a big baby, so I'd be like, we don't understand these forces. We can't manage it.
And you're right, though.
Yeah.
I had a religion teacher at my Catholic school who would ask you to bring in the Ouija board to make a point and then just take it and then hide it. Oh, and he'd be like, you're summoning the devil. It's not funny. I'm taking your Ouija board.
I always thought it'd be really funny if somebody, if a racist kid was, like, doing a Ouija board with people, trying to, like, red pill them by being like, we've contacted Robert E. Lee. Weird. Wonder what he has to say.
Oh, some really good points. Weird. Robert E. Lee, I thought it was so weird in history class that they tried... tell me if you got this impression in your school, but I felt like my school was daring to make me like Robert E. Lee the whole time we did the Civil War.
No, definitely not.
They're just like, but he was so good at being a general.
Mm-hmm.
He was so crafty, and in a way, the Union was the bad army.
I guess you're right. I guess they did kind of not with Robert E. Lee, but with like the Sherman thing, right?
Because of his march to the sea.
Yeah, the Sherman's march thing. They were like, and it was pretty fucked up what he did. And you're like, yeah, but they were like real bad.
I guess the only way you could justify that is if it was to end slavery. Oh, it was?
Oh, it was? Oh, weird. Okay.
Oh, I guess you could burn it to the ground then. If it's to end human bondage, actually.
Yeah. Oh, and it did damage to the slaves around there. I guess that would be justifiable if you were to like give them something afterwards. Oh, he said he would, and then you didn't. Oh, weird. Okay. Shit.
It's as if the American educational system is a tad bit flawed.
Yeah.
Tad bit.
When I'm with the American education system at a restaurant, I'm asking for the check.
Please
take my education system. Please. That's how you do a bit.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Perfect bit. Let's talk about Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon Crystal. Moonlight, got some notes up here. How many minutes did we do yet?
35.
Okay.
Beautiful.
I just don't know how long this recap is going to last because it was nonsense.
I'm going to keep eating your cookies.
Yeah, keep eating those cookies.
Yeah, anyways, welcome to the Cookie Boys.
Cookie friends. Sailor Moon, that girl's eating some cookies. Oh, as I was saying before we started recording, I've been watching Sailor Moon regular for research for a script I'm writing, and there is an episode, 2 or 3 episodes in, that is just about Sailor Moon's body image issues.
Yeah.
And it is in Japan in 1992.
Now, this is the powdered form?
Of what?
Sailor Moon?
Yeah, Sailor Moon, the powdered form. The highbrow good shit. 1992, Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon classic.
Because if you guys don't get the joke, Crystal.
Yeah, Crystal.
Crystal meth, powder meth. Yeah. Okay.
We're all having fun here.
I am. I am making a point about Sailor Moon and her body image issues. There's an episode, 3 episodes in, where Sailor Moon is like, I'm fat because I weighed myself, a growing girl who is 13. And then her family is like, yeah, oh, Sailor Moon, you are fat. You piece of shit. Get on diet. And then she doesn't really learn a lesson of any kind, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, for context, also her parents sleep in separate beds in that show.
Right.
Which they show several times.
They need a hot daughter. They need it to pull off. They are relying on this to work out. Oh, boy. But we're here today to talk about Sailor Moon Crystal, episode 14.
Mm-hmm.
The end of an era. Now, we have watched, I'd say, 14 episodes of Sailor Moon Crystal. And
no, I've got 14 words for you.
Sailor Moon.
Yeah, Sailor Moon is a very bad show, and I don't want to
watch it.
Watch it.
Boom.
One of those finally worked.
1488 minute running time. I don't know what point I'm making.
No,
okay.
we can't go for 88 minutes. That would be insane.
No, that'd be stupid.
Oh, it is 420 right now, though.
Smoke up.
Smoke up.
Hey, 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 hey.
Hey. Weed.
Every day.
I feel like I'm lost in a QAnon blog right now. We're all just saying numbers at each other.
Hey, how about instead of Sailor Moon, it's Sailor Weed?
And my point is, we've watched a lot of Sailor Moon Crystal, and this is the last episode of the first season. And so, in a way, we can kind of judge how we felt about the whole thing at the end. And if you've been listening to any of the last, I don't know, 8 episodes of us reviewing it, you know it's not good.
It's no good.
It's no bueno.
It's a no good.
Yep.
So
it's a no good.
Or as Sonic the Hedgehog says, it's no good.
It's a no good.
What?
It's a chili dog.
Now this is not a chili dog. On a scale of 1 to not a chili dog.
That's no chili dog, Tails. I'm trying to munch.
Yep, and then Tails asks you if you've heard the good word about Joseph Smith and the new American.
Keep going.
I don't know why you said that. Okay,
he's like a little Mormon character.
Is Tails a Mormon?
Tails is a Mormon.
Is that why his name is Miles Tails Prowler? I thought that was so weird.
Because his name is Miles Prower.
Oh, really?
Miles per hour, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Then why is it Tails?
Because he's got extra tails.
Because he's got two tails?
Yeah, he's got like a nickname based on his deformity. He's got a very mean nickname that everyone calls him, but his real name is Miles Per Hour because he's also fast.
You finally like clued me into Tails' name at the age of 28.
Yep, and he's also a Mormon.
I've been hanging out with Tails since I was like 5 years old. Goddamn crazy.
Yeah, did you know we went on a mission trip?
A mission trip?
Yeah.
What are you doing
to Israel?
No, to place where the Green Hill Zone.
Okay.
To tell all those little animals, and that's what you do when you jump on the little machine at the end and free the animals, is you're giving them the good word about the new American prophet Joseph Smith.
Oh, they look excited when you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Huh. Wow. I never knew that was what that was about. That makes me rethink some things. Sailor Moon has a very large, as you remember from the Whiskey Brothers podcast, we ended last episode, she has a big scepter with the legendary silver crystal on it, and she's battling the ultimate evil, the evil Queen Metalia, who is like a very vague ghost who lives in the sky and has destroyed all of the world and Japan, especially... double destroyed Japan with her cloud technology. And so Sailor Moon begins this episode even before the title song by just going like, I am the pretty guardian and I blast ya with my crystal.
Yeah.
And she holds her scepter up and it shoots a big beam into the sky. Right at Metalia's face.
And she dies.
And she dies, but for some reason it takes around a full 10 minutes for her to die where they have a conversation. So the next 10 minutes is them kind of like catching you up.
Terrible news, everybody.
What?
Knuckles does not have a last name.
He's Knuckles the Echidna.
Yeah, he's Knuckles the Echidna.
Right. Well, if,
I thought he might have had a last name because
his full name is Knuckles the Echidna. His last name is Echidna.
His last name's Echidna. He's Jamaican. He's a.
I thought Knuckles is from a broken home, and so he's just like one of those guys who gives himself one name because he doesn't want you to know about his past.
And that's why he has dreadlocks.
And that's why he has dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Because well, I don't want to make that equation.
No, I was going in a better direction.
Jeremy thinks dreadlocks mean you're from a broken home. It's
no, you're
the
adding
record.
Things. You said he's from a broken home. And I was saying he didn't clean his hair, and that's why he got dreadlocks. Because that's one of the ways you can get dreadlocks. The other way is if you're Rastafari and you put them in on purpose.
I also think he's just an echidna, and echidnas have spikes.
Yes.
Do they?
Yep.
Yeah, they do.
What do they look like? What are they like?
They're
wait,
like,
podcast wait. Pause. Podcast pause. I have to edit this out.
Podcast.
And cut here, and we're back.
Brass monkey, that funky monkey.
Oh, we should do a brass monkey episode. Won't that be fun?
I would throw up if we drank brass monkeys.
What's our what show could we like treat ourselves with this week?
Oh, let's figure it out after we finish.
Yeah,
this.
Let's finish.
Yeah,
this
but
shit
we should give ourselves a little treat.
Okay, so Knuckles the
before
Echidna,
we embark on Dragon Ball Z.
There's only one track. I have to wait till you stop talking. You're right. Knuckles the Echidna is crazy.
Yep.
And so that's why we return to episode 14 of Sailor Moon Crystal, conclusion and commencement, in quotes, petit entrange, which is what it said.
Yeah, what religion do you think Sonic is?
Jeremy Hammond, what is going on with you?
He's Presbyterian.
What's like a fast one?
Yeah, I was trying to think of the fastest
that horny,
one I could think
the
of.
Horny one that's like the sexy lady. She's a Unitarian Universalist for sure.
What's
raised
sexy?
Oh, from like Sonic Underground, the pink one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the sexy pink Sonic.
And then the green drummer one
how
from Sonic Underground.
How did they make
a
Sonic
like,
sexy? How did they do that?
The, I mean, like they made the original one sexy.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's why everyone draws him in compromised situations.
Yeah. They're unbelievably sexy characters, even if you're not a furry. Like, they
even
have, like, a sexual
a,
energy
can't
to them.
Deny.
The in the first game, they add that whole thing of, like, Sonic, like, crossing his arms and, like, looking at you. They knew what
with
they were
doing.
With
his little hedgehog ass.
They knew what they were doing.
You're always going to watch him from behind because he's so fast.
Don't agree.
And then Knuckles is a daddy dom.
I don't agree.
He's the strong one.
I hate this.
And he'll make you find the Chaos Emeralds.
2020, you're the furry.
You're the furry, baby.
Humor
we're all coming
only.
Out.
Drink water and defend your rights. Let's go.
2020, we're all coming out.
Can we make a shirt that says... should we make a shirt?
2020, we're all coming out.
We're all coming out, everyone.
Send us the fan art of us as furries, please.
Yes, please do that. And we're all crossing our arms like we have something to say about Jesus.
Can we make a shirt that says 2020, year of the furries, drink water?
I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm a branding master.
Why are we not a t-shirt company? It's
I don't know,
obviously
man. The anime
our
summer shirt
only
did okay.
Strength. We're so good at it, and we refuse to make money off it.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass to set up.
It's a pain, but we could.
I know,
make
we make no
cash.
Money off our shirts. Even like our best month we ever did, I think we only all got like another $20.
Right, because we're being fucking scammed by the T-Public people, which we're only on, as I remind you, because we're doing blatant copyright violations.
That's the other thing,
and
yeah.
And they're the only people who will host us.
I forgot about that whole saga of getting kicked off of every platform one by one.
Do you know why I know that? Because my brother tried to make a Spaces for the Space Noise shirt. Chris tried to make one for Luke for Christmas, and no website would make it for him because it is in violation of copyright law.
Yeah, so we would need to like.
And he emailed Bandai, and they said no. He's like, I'm not selling it. It's for my brother. And they were like, fuck you.
We will fucking wreck your shit.
Sell you into
yeah. It's
space
like now
stuff.
We know
but we
who
have
you
like
are.
We have a friend who works for Funimation. Like we know somebody who could help us.
What am I supposed to edit out in this episode? We haven't discussed any Sailor Moon at all.
Okay, let Alex talk about it. It's the literally the last episode of this.
I know, but we...
It is. And it's a quick recap, too, because it was a bunch of anime gibberish. So Sailor Moon is blasting Queen Metalia, and there's this whole back and forth where she's, like, blasting... There's a big beam coming out of her scepter, and it's a back and forth where it zooms in on her, and she's like, you gotta use the power of the moon. The moon is where your power comes from.
You gotta pray.
You have to pray, yes. And so we cut to the moon, where
Life
Luna the cat...
is a mystery.
Luna the cat is praying.
And you feel like home. Burp, 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 burp. When you call my name, I'm just a little hedgehog.
No. No, you're not.
Jeremy.
You're not a hedgehog. You're Sailor Moon Crystal.
Are you trying to sabotage the show so you can just do your other one full time?
Is that what this is, really? Are you trying to do the Whiskey Brothers full time?
I want to be the Whiskey Brothers full time, yeah.
I looked up Whiskey Brothers.
I tried to find, like, because I knew there would be, like, at least five podcasts called the Whiskey Brothers. I was trying to find one that we could, like, rip the theme song from, but none of them have a good theme song.
Wow, that sucks. They're just, like, homemade
banjos.
I guess
they're too fucking drunk to get it together.
Yeah.
That's legitimately, not even ironically, what is happening. It is hard to do anything after drinking whiskey. I've been doing it a lot lately, and it ruined my day. Sailor Moon is getting a message from Luna the cat, who is on the moon, talking to that rock they pulled the sword from, which has Sailor Moon's mother, Queen Selene, I think.
Yeah.
Her hologram is in there, and they're like, the power is in prayer. Mm-hmm. You have to pray. And that's where we were deciding that Sailor Moon, because we were going back and forth about, like, she's going to go to college one day, the commencement thing, she's going to be a sorority girl, and then Jeremy said, no, she's a Jesus girl. And this whole arc makes you think, yeah, because it's all about the power of prayer.
I would argue that you could be both.
Well, I was saying
very
that she
easily.
Couldn't be, what I was saying
but
was
where
that
will
she
we find an example?
Be...
of someone who's in a sorority but also loves Jesus.
I believe you were thinking of Christian Girl Autumn.
I was saying that she couldn't be in a sorority because she's not a Jesus girl, because she's like some kind of like moon worshiper.
Oh, that she's a pagan.
Yeah. She couldn't be in a sorority.
Oh, and so I misrepresented.
Because sorority girls are all Jesus
girls.
They're
all Jesus girls.
In some way or another, whether or not they're like really actively. Oh, yeah. And then the one token Jew. Yeah.
No, there's Jewish sororities.
There's Jewish sororities.
Oh, yeah. What are they called? Do you know?
I can't. I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't know what my angle is for anything anymore.
I think Sailor Moon would go as sorority because sororities are such like lesbian fantasy worlds.
Yes, yeah. They absolutely are, and so is Sailor Moon. And the thing about Christian sororities is they believe, because of the extremist way that they're brought up, that Jesus demands a harem of them, and so they create one for the Lord.
Like a looper.
And I'm a hedgehog.
I'm not talking
Madonna
to
is
you.
A hedgehog.
Madonna's a hedgehog. Anyway, so they go back and forth doing anime. If you've ever seen the final episode of any anime, you know that they...
Madonic.
They're full of... They fill
Madonic
time.
Madonic the hedgehog.
Jeremy, it's one track. I can't... You have to stop talking about Sonic the Hedgehog. Until we upgrade our equipment, stop talking about Sonic the Hedgehog. If you've ever seen the final episode of an anime, you know that they just say the same things over and over again and then do random cuts of flashing lights in people's faces. And so that's what they do, all the cuts of the Sailor Scout's faces being like, Sailor Moon, Sailor Moon, Sailor Moon. And then she's like, do you believe in me? And then it cuts to them, and then it shows all their power pens, which are scattered all over the Earth. And then it shows
they
how the Earth's destroyed.
Really bad job of explaining that they're fucking dead, by the way.
Yeah, I did not catch
it. It just shows them lying down.
Yeah.
So you're like, these girls are sleeping.
And it happens all the time.
They're supposed to, but in this particular instance, they're supposed to be straight up dead.
They're supposed to be dead.
And it's like the least climactic thing ever.
Right. Like we were saying off mic, Sailor Moon Crystal is the concept of Sailor Moon with no build up and all payoffs. So it's all not the moment where they die, just the moment where they come back to life. And you're supposed to be excited, but you're like, Oh, they were dead?
Yeah. This whole show's like that.
Wait, Sailor Moon has a family? She's doing this for her family, which we saw once in episode one?
Her
weird.
Friend Naru, who you only meet for 30 seconds in one episode? It's like, what the fuck?
She's not in the show, and so for...
Justice for Naru, man.
Justice for Naru. For Sailor Moon to be doing this beam for Naru and her family, and for them to not be in the show is a gross injustice, and that's probably my biggest issue in the year 2020. So she does this beam, and it really blasts Queen Mitalia in her face, because, again, the whole sky is Queen Mitalia's face. She looks like the disturbed guy, and she says, ow!
Yeah, it hits her in the cross on her head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's her weakness.
Do a barrel roll.
Yeah.
And then, meanwhile, Luna's washing in the crystal on the moon, and then Luna starts praying. Because she loves to pray.
This is where all the colorful lights are all around her and Luna stuff.
Yeah, Luna starts tripping balls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's this
sequence
give
your cat MDMA. That's like $20 down the drain.
it's like a sequence of highly usable GIFs, all of which would be captioned, that feeling when the catnip hit.
Dude, if you gave your cat MDMA and then tried to chase it around trying to get it to drink water...
It's already hard to get cats to drink water.
I know, they just refuse to do it. They want to die so bad.
They want to die. They just want to dance. They just want to roll around. Taking like a human-sized hit of that. And so Luna the cat is like, we did it. And then Queen Selene, who lives in a rock on the moon, Sailor Moon's mother from a million years ago, says, we did it. I will go back to being dead now.
When Luna's praying, she turns into a lady for 2 seconds, and you got so mad when I don't know if you remember.
I was gonna bust the monitor open.
A few episodes ago, I'm like, are they cats? And you're like, what does that mean? I'm like, I don't know.
Right, you were all coy about it.
Yeah.
But what I was saying is that if at any point in this show, Luna decides she is not a cat anymore, I'm going to commit unspeakable acts, because that's all I have now. All I have is that Luna and Artemis are both cats, and they make this show watchable. And my job as a content creator is to watch the cats. Okay? And that's what I'm here to do. And so the moon returns to its former glory now that Queen Mitalia is dead, because her dark magic is gone. And so instead of being a husk like a dead rock, it has a magical castle on it, although it still would be a rock.
Yeah, it's still on the desolate moon's surface. And Luna's like, this is pretty neat. You live here now. And Sailor Moon's like, fuck you.
Hey, Sailor Moon, want to live on the moon alone? You'll never see anyone. You're the queen of the moon. And so there's like a minute of Luna trying to convince Sailor Moon that, hey, we fixed up the moon for you. Why don't you live alone on the moon?
We pulled out the guest bed. We like,
hey,
yeah.
Why don't you visit your old dad on the moon? Hey, yeah, I may be divorced, but I still got a few moves.
I know there's a Bowflex in your childhood bedroom, but come on back.
Here's the thing about the moon, no bedtime. Whatever you want. You can have as much candy as you want. It's the freaking moon. And Sailor Moon is like, no, I'm going to go see my family and friends.
Hey, come visit the moon. You know Taco Bell does breakfast now?
No, I have to see my friends. What, are you too good for your old man all of a sudden?
Sure, we're in a remote area, the moon, where there's no other people to talk to except me. But
hey, I'm your old man.
I moved to the moon so you'd have space to play. I'm 14. I don't really play anymore.
I want to see my friends. You friends, friends, friends. I'm
always with
the
friends.
This is getting real. This is a real episode of Sailor Moon. Real content. Peaking
real
the levels, apparently.
Dad energy.
Her boyfriend comes over. Tuxedo Mask is like, by the way, Sailor Moon. Oh, because she blasts Queen Mitalia, she immediately faints because she is a lady. And so she's on the ground, and because he is a predator, Tuxedo Mask sees her and is like, good, she's unconscious. Time to get what I want. And then he kisses her sleeping body, which he has done 2 or 3 times now, and that brings her back to life. and he never goes to court or any kind of justice system.
She's no, also supposed to be sort of dead, and they just kind of just brushed
They didn't
that.
Say that. They didn't say anything. Nope. She was just asleep, and then he was kissing her, and we were like, you have a problem. Consent means nothing to you. That's why he wears the mask. That's why he wears the mask.
He's like the Hamburglar, but for girl kisses.
Yeah, girl kisses is the best way to put that.
Yep.
Good.
Girl kisses.
And so she's back to life and she's like, I have a boyfriend. I have a family. Let me
live
find...
as a regular girl.
I want to be a regular girl. Let's go find my friends. And then
so she heals the world with moon healing escalation.
Well, we're missing one beat I really want to cover, which is Tuxedo Mask is like, oh, you're looking for my friends? I can feel them in the ground. And then just touches the ground and finds them magically. And yep. It's never explained about what that is.
Nope.
He's like, I'm using my man touch.
It's like that time in Dragon Ball Z when
my hands
Goku...
can feel where a lady is.
Do you remember that time when Goku gets to Namek for the first time and he like puts his... Krillin's like, I gotta tell you all the shit that happened. He's like, hang on. And he just touches his head and he's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, that was weird how all that happened. Anyway, let's get to work.
Yeah, I know.
And then they never do it again.
I know we do nothing but waste time on this show, but this is the one time I'm gonna just skip the recap. Okay. Back to 20 episodes of panting.
Oh, but how funny would it be if that was the framing device to do that week's on the last episode of Dragon Ball Z?
That would be so smart, and you know they didn't do it. Man, I love Dragon Ball Z. What a show. Yeah. Not like Sailor Moon Crystal, which is shit. Okay, so Katie already said it, but Sailor Moon gets a new powerful transformation while she's on the moon.
Yeah, she gets a new brooch.
She talks to her mother because she lost her brooch in the battle, and she's like, I can't transform without my brooch. And her mother's ghost says, well, I think you should have my brooch because you're old enough. And so she gets a special makeup kit that has the hole for the legendary crystal. Silver crystal.
Yep.
And so she puts it in that, and then that lets her transform. And then we see her new transformation that's supposed to be extra powerful, and it's the same, but she has clips in her hair.
Yep.
And there was a riot on our hands over here. The
absolutely.
Boys were heated.
Let me just say, no change to the hair, not spikier, not more colorful, no changes to her hair.
I thought she'd have more accessories, at least like a bigger one than yeah. clips.
Didn't grow a tail, did not get taller, her didn't get head spikes, nothing fun.
It's wildly overvaluing how noticeable clips are, I guess.
Because you are boys.
Because we're boys.
I guess so, yeah.
You well, don't notice. You never notice when I do something different with my hair.
Katie takes off her hat and there's clips and she's like, I put them away because no one said anything.
Every week I do something to catch your eye and you say nothing and you're married.
But, even if my wife had new accessories, I would not notice them.
Nope.
It is a point of pride for me and my ignorance, and it keeps me going week
That's
after week.
Me and your wife are going to continue to gang up on you from either side of the chat when we have to do remote episodes.
Oh, no, not the chat. This is almost a Greta Thunberg episode again. Yeah, it was Greta Thunberg banging my wife. You missed it. Okay.
Yeah, I clearly did.
Let me tell you, people didn't like it.
People didn't like that bit. No.
Yeah, it's as if I was here, I never would have let it happen.
Yeah, there would have been a lot of like, no! Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It is funny to think about, though. But well, we're moving on. So anyway, she's got a whole new ability, even though she looks the same. And she has a crystal, and she does a moon healing escalation, her go-to move. And she does it from the moon at the Earth, and it fixes the entire Earth.
Yep. Everyone's back. The buildings are fixed.
The buildings are fixed. Nothing is damaged anymore. The carbon levels are perfect. And you're watching it, you're like, they got to nerf Sailor Moon. Because, I mean, this if she can do that, that's like an Eternal Dragon-style wish. She is Shenron-level powerful.
That, yeah. For all we know, she can do whenever she wants.
She can do whenever she wants. And when you have a Sailor Moon that powerful, that's like a Watchmen situation.
Who right. watches Sailor Moon Crystal?
Right. I
to
tie
us,
it.
Apparently.
Luckily, no longer.
No longer. Sailor Moon, and she's on Mars, and she's like, I tire of these boys. Their empty lives.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's why she didn't want to stay there. She's like, Oh, thank you, Luna, for building me this beautiful palace, but I have to get back to my friends and family. Also, there's just a naked guy with a big dick staring at me through the window. He has depression. It's really bumming me the fuck out. He won't stop doing poetry at me.
Man, I want to reread that book. It's so good.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to The Watchmen.
Hey, shouts to The Watchmen. I feel like little it doesn't get enough exposure.
Yeah, people don't know about it, but it's actually really good.
Yeah, hot plug for
Alan Moore's The Watchmen.
You know, this is going to be a controversial opinion, but comics are just as good as literature.
They can be just as good.
They can be books, you know that?
The visual element is so valuable.
That's why they call them graphic novels.
Right, because they're graphic in a way. Let me wrap this up real quick. So we're almost done. The Earth is back to normal, and what's her name? Kai? K?
What?
The Sailor Mars?
Oh, Rey.
Rey. She's at her Shinto shrine, where she lives alone, with no parents, and is a child. And she is looking at a fire, as one is wont to do, and all of a sudden sees a flash of a figure in the fire, and she goes, is this a bad omen? That would mean more episodes. And then the wind rustles. And then we cut to Sailor Moon, who is hanging out with her boyfriend, Tuxedo Mask, happily on the Earth, and they go in for a smooch at a public park, when all of a sudden, a ball drops out of the air.
Yes, it's the Luna Pea ball, and a vortex opens up, and I say out loud, damn, they're just getting right to this shit. Okay.
She said that out loud.
And yep. Shibiusa flies out of the sky, and I will say they cut a lot of stuff in this show that pisses me off, but they still keep Shibiusa threatening Sailor Moon with a gun, and you love to see it.
Right. It's
truly
like
truly fantastic.
Let me just explain. Shibiusa is it's Sailor Moon, but she's like 5 and she has pink hair, and she sees Usagi and goes, you're Usagi, I'm Usagi. And she goes, you're Usagi Tsukino? And then this little child pulls out just a normal human gun and puts it in Sailor Moon's head and is like, you ready to die, bitch? And then it goes, Osmi Frey! And that's the end of the show. It was so strange, and it almost tricks you into watching more until you have a recap recorded that you can listen to that proves you didn't like the rest of it and know better than to listen to anymore.
Yeah.
So that's Sailor Moon Crystal, everybody. Out of 7 Dragon Balls, what are we rating this episode? And then, do you need a separate rating for the series, or would you just say, like, we could just rate the series?
Do separate ones, whatever.
Okay, for what do you rate this episode?
Like, I'd say 2 out of 7 Dragon Balls. I would have given it none, but the gun at the end really gave me some extra
points. It
really brought it back for me. Full season, 4 out of 7 Dragon Balls.
Wow.
Had some ups, had some downs, mostly downs, not coming anywhere close to a Shenron wish for me.
I feel like I am the most generous with my Dragon Balls. I'm going to give this episode 2 out of 7 Dragon Balls, but also the last episode of a lot of animes are bad, so I don't hold that much against it, and the gun thing was really cool. The fact that Luna might not be a cat makes me so mad. It makes me want to just throw the whole series away.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole series overall, I'm going to give, I guess, I'm not even in 2 out of 7 Dragon Balls. Jeremy was saying while we were watching it, this is like a textbook example of bad writing in that there is no value to anything that happens in the show, and it just seems like a confused dream you're having, and the production value is really low. And it's just like, again, kind of like Dragon Ball Super, just like a soulless cash grab at a title they know you like. And, yeah, I have nothing but contempt for this show. Katie, you love Sailor Moon. What did you think of Sailor Moon Crystal?
Well, I give this episode 2 out of 7, because once again, the gun was pretty cool.
Cool gun. And human gun.
I
very
like
cool gun,
the
everybody.
Big, tall, I forget what it's called, but the staff. But yeah, so I love Sailor Moon, and I give Sailor Moon Crystal, this arc that we watched, 1 Dragon Ball.
Wow.
Good.
This offended the ever-living shit out of me. It takes everything that's fun and enjoyable about a Sailor Moon property, and they're like, what if we did none of that and made it confusing? This is sold as being a more accessible, like, property to start with, because it's supposed to be edited and more, like, you know, easier to follow, but I found it the opposite. You know, I don't even know how anyone's supposed to watch this and know what's going on.
They cut out all of the relevant information for any of the characters. You're just left being like, what are their names? Where am I?
Yeah, what I was saying while we were watching is it's like, it's literally throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Like, there's no better use of that expression than this show. Like,
right. They threw a baby from the portal onto the Sailor Moon and then pulled the gun on the Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
It's just, you learn
the
nothing.
The expression.
It's a show about being invested in the characters, and you learn nothing about the characters. Every fight is confusing. Mm-hmm. Like, just the animation itself is confusing to watch. You're like, who's saying that? Who's hitting who?
Why can they fly now?
Yeah, it's just nothing's explained. Garbage. Total
garbage.
Boom,
garbage. Bad
garbage.
Show. Bad and, show. Don't watch it.
Do not watch Sailor Moon Crystal unless you've been watching every episode, and then thank you for your community.
Hurts my heart, man.
We value you as the listener.
I had high hopes. Dashed.
I had high hopes for a living.
This does seem like the kind of show Mayor P would watch.
No way.
Mayor what P. anime do you think Mayor P would watch? So,
I am a weeb. I watch Sailor Moon Crystal.
Oh, he watches some American shit
real.
Like Airbender.
Yeah.
My favorite anime is Avatar The Last Airbender.
You know, you're right.
In a way,
you're right.
Aang's struggle is the struggle of all Americans. He's just struggling to meet his friends, go to the post office. And he's tired going to the post office. That's why he has stamps.com.
You worked for a company that bent air.
I'm sorry, that's horse shit. All right, this is getting really... This is getting super jumbled. Whatever. Thank you for listening to our show. We're glad we have finally ended this dark period of time. Stay tuned for a new and exciting chapter of Ballin' Out...
GT.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Whatever it's going to be.
We will continue. The content don't stop, won't stop, can't stop.
The content continues.
Next time.
And now the song!
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play, tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitarandella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pastifazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
That's amore.
Bells will ring,
ding-a-ling-a-ling,
ding-a-ling-a-ling,
and you'll sing Vita Bella.
Vita Bella, Vita Bella. Hearts will play,
tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarantella.
Lucky fella.
When like pasta, pasta,
that's amore.
That's amore.
When you dance down the street with the cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but... But you see, back in Napoli, that's amore.